Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a 512 Friday. We play jams from local bands and artists that you can hear right here in the ATX, the live music capital of the world. Who we jamming right now, Ty?
This is Golden Dawn Orchestra.
Okay.
Join as One. They're playing at Stubbs on Friday night.
Wow. That's a lot to that right there.
Yeah, I had to say that one a few times.
He was in there practicing.
There you go. All right, 512 Friday continues right here on 104.9 The Horn. One of the big stories here locally, of course, has been, it actually broke probably an hour before we came on air, the receiver that Texas acquired out of the transfer portal from Alabama, Isaiah Hall, was arrested yesterday for criminal mischief. He was trying to remove a boot from his car that he had got courtesy of UT parking. I've been there before. A lot of y'all have been there too. And as a result of that, he was arrested. And then today, Steve Sarkisian made a statement saying he contacted his family and has talked to Gia Hall and decided as a result of that, those discussions, that he is suspending Gia Hall indefinitely. Yeah. And Harge and myself actually referred to a Chip Brown report. Shout out to my man Chip Brown, always doing a good job over there at Horns 24/7. This is actually from August 4th. So this was actually about a week or so ago. And he put it out there, and I'll give him credit because it was in his insider piece. And I didn't really make much of it. I figured maybe it's not a big deal. Well, now it may be a bigger deal. Here's the excerpt from Chip Brown's insider piece. Now for the not-so-good news. Redshirt freshman Alabama transfer receiver Isaiah Hall still has a lot to figure out and needs to figure it out quickly, according to two dialed-in team sources. Let's just say Hall has already gotten to know the leadership council under less than desirable circumstances.
Yeah. Hall was already wearing thin on teammates and coaches at the time when Coach Sark had been trying to get the team to become closer as a bond after a 5-7 season.
Trying to change the culture.
Change
the culture. And obviously, you don't need somebody coming in who is acting and behaving contrary to whatever
Correct.
You want to direct that culture to be. So I feel bad for the young man because, trust me, I have been there with the parking tickets. I had a boot on my car, made bad parking decisions. I think for him going as far as trying to remove the boot and then being arrested for it, that probably is and that along with stuff we're not privy to that we don't know behind the scenes and what kind of conversations Sark had with him
Correct.
Coming in from Bama. And I do believe, Hard, you were right. I think they did give him a fresh start. He had some issues with Nick Saban in Alabama, came to Texas for a fresh start. But even with that fresh start, he was already starting to frustrate some teammates and coaches. And now you got the indefinite suspension. And that indefinite suspension makes me believe that there's more to it and that they want to see him basically exhibit a lot more productive behavior.
Yeah.
Or at least behavior that is going to be something that can contribute to the culture and not be contrary to it.
Yeah, that's the part about it is when you're coming in and you know what your history is and you've had some run-ins with Coach Saban, and we don't know the extent of it all, but
we don't. But we know Nick Saban needed wide receivers,
right?
And he decided this guy who was a highly recruited receiver had a higher overall recruiting grade than X-Man.
Yes,
I believe.
Yes, he was rated higher than X-Man.
He was rated higher than X-Man. Yeah. So you needed receivers, and yet Nick Saban decided, nah, man, no, you need to go.
Right, and
it'd
that's
be best for you to go somewhere else.
But that's when you have to stop pointing fingers and start looking in the mirror and
Man
realize
in the mirror
you got to adjust some of the ways that you are going about the life. Now, look, it's a boot. It's a different situation. But if your teammates and you spent time with the leadership council, that means that you aren't buying into what we're trying to get you to buy into. Therefore, some of the things that you are doing now are becoming more questionable, and now we don't have to deal with it no more. You just made your bed. Now you got to lie in it. If he would have just had the boot and not tried to remove it, it's a totally different story. Mm-hmm. Totally different situation because
yeah.
No, he's not going to jail for it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Totally agree.
Criminal mischief. You're going to jail for that. So if he wouldn't have done that, we probably are not having this conversation. We're probably spending more time talking about the scrimmage that's going to happen tomorrow.
Yeah, and don't want you to think that yes, the boot wasn't something that I haven't, that other people haven't made that type of mistake. They
right.
have,
right.
But I think he was on thin ice because of other things.
Yes,
and maybe this was the incident where you know that ice got too thin that he might have fell through, and now. He's been suspended from team activities.
He's grabbing to get. He's trying to get help right now.
Yeah.
He's trying to get
and
some help.
I hope he just gets it together because yeah. I hear he's tremendously talented. And we had a texter. I want to give this texter credit because they are a real listener, so we appreciate that because I can tell because they're referring back to old stuff.
Yeah.
It says, "Yo, Rod, didn't you ask Bijan at Big 12 Media Days who would be on his 4x100 relay team?" He said, "And he said I believe Hall was one of those cats Bijan picked UPS Phil. Shout out UPS Phil. Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
You're right about that, UPS Phil. He was one of the guys. He said he had Brandon Thompson to start out as his first leg.
Yep.
Keaton Crawford on the backstretch.
Which kind of just took our minds somewhere.
Right? We were like, whoa. Isaiah Hall would be the third leg.
Yep.
And then he said X-Man would be the anchor leg.
Yep.
So Bijan Robinson is the one that said, yeah, Isaiah Hall was one of the four fastest players on the team.
Right.
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah. You start looking around. You're like, hold up, man.
That's
a lot that needs to be happening.
Yeah, so he's got tons of talent. I mean, that's basically what we're just trying to say. Like, he's got a ton of talent. So I agree with, you know, like I said, I wish we had known more, but I'll give my man Chip Brown a lot of credit. At least we know that behind the scenes there have been some, I don't know if the incidents, but there have been some disappointments.
Yeah.
All right, so far. We just don't know exactly what those are, where he had to address the leadership council, where teammates and coaches were frustrated, and I think this now is the first public thing but outside the burnt orange curtain that we find out about, and I think now maybe some of those other incidents, you know, they will come out in the open as well. He did put out something via the gram, said, quote, "Everything's good, let's work, that's all." Good for him. Sounds like he got a good attitude about it.
Yeah,
I made a mistake, I screwed up, I'm going to do better.
I think I got one too. He said, he also tweeted out on his Twitter, you know, people are like, Texas fans in a war, you know, messing around with him and him staring at the. He said, "They've been coming for my car since I got there."
Oh, really?
That's what he posted on his Twitter page.
Well, you're not, I hate to say this, Isaiah Hall, you're not a victim because they come after everybody's cars.
You're not special.
Ricky Williams cars. They're coming after. Matter of fact, that may mean they like you. That may mean you're a good player, but they're coming after you. So, yeah, I don't know if I agree with the one he put out there on Twitter. They're coming for you. Really? They've been picking on you?
Yeah, he said they've been coming for my car.
Oh, they've been coming
for
you? Oh, yeah. They come for all the cars.
Yeah. If you really got a car, you go get it.
They're coming for all the cars. They come for Harsh's car.
Because they came for my car.
Harsh loves the valet everywhere he goes.
There wasn't one there.
Harsh likes to park close to where he's going.
Exactly.
He doesn't like to park far away. So they've got Harsh, they've got me, they got Ty. Isaiah Hall, I love you. You ain't special, though.
Yeah.
You and your car ain't special, all right? They putting boots on Lambos around there, man. They'll do it. They don't care. So
yeah,
that's the Isaiah Hall story. He has been suspended indefinitely. I'm glad he's got a better attitude about it. Him having a good attitude about it leads me to believe it's not going to be a long suspension. But I believe the indefinite, it was not a message to us. It was a message to him.
Yes.
So I think we took the indefinite as, man, that's harsh for a boot on a car and an overreaction. But now we find out there's some background here. There's background. There's layers. Yeah. Here's a nuanced topic there. And also now I think the indefinite is a message to him. Hey, get on the straight and narrow and put together.
Yeah.
I need you to put together some
Some
days of consistently constructive behavior on and off the field. And then we can start to reach your real potential. And quit worrying about these distractions.
No doubt about it.
Because you ain't been able to reach your potential because it's too many distractions.
Yeah.
All right? We get you a point where you ain't distracted, that you are focused, you crystallize your focus, you're going to be a star.
Because everybody sees the talent that you have.
Oh, it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's obvious. No question.
But the other part of it is, you were talking about Nick Saban needing some wide receivers. Sark said they got 18 of them. So... Going back over there, you got a lot of work to do to get back in this line. We got a lot of wide receivers here, man. So if you're not coming in to put in that work, regardless of who you are, you're going to go back to the back of that line, and you're going to have to work your tail off to get back to the front because these other guys are here.
Yeah, they don't need you. I mean, it'd be nice to have you
right
this year. But
you're not a necessity.
You don't necessarily need you at this point. I like this from APD number one. You don't want your boot damaged? Don't put it on my car. Play stupid games. Get stupid price. He's
He been mad at the parking police, man.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right. Let's get to this Deshaun Watson story.
Yeah.
I think
it's going to be big.
People would rather talk about this than preseason. We'll get to some preseason little nuggets, but I think this story actually takes priority over the story of Tom Brady, which we'll get to, and we'll get to some of the preseason headlines here. But Deshaun Watson, and I'll start with the Browns being interested in Jimmy Garoppolo, then we'll work our way to Deshaun Watson because I think those stories, of course, are connected. So the Browns, and this comes from, obviously Mary Kay Cabot, so she's really connected. The Browns apparently are interested in Jimmy Garoppolo, or may be interested in Jimmy Garoppolo. There's a report coming out of Cleveland that because they are anticipating the suspension from the league and them making it a longer suspension, maybe even upwards of a year, a season, because of that, they may be interested in Jimmy Garoppolo. Mm. What are your thoughts about it? Is that a good move? And remember, they can afford it because the first year of Deshaun Watson's deal is discounted. Because they were trying to avoid having to pay a hefty fine, which I still think they're going to have to pay a hefty fine.
Well, I told you a while back, and I'm still standing with this, Jimmy Garoppolo needs to have some respect put on his name. He is a talented quarterback. He has done a lot in this league, more than some of these other quarterbacks even thought about doing, whether it was his time with the Patriots or his time in San Francisco. Jimmy went to the Super Bowl, and he was one pass away from being an MVP in the Super Bowl, and then nobody even talking about it. Jimmy is a talented quarterback. I don't know exactly if you feel like he's going to win you the Super Bowl or if he's going to be that guy. He's gotten there. You know how many people actually win the Super Bowl? One.
Uno.
And for a long time, it's only been Tom Brady. So when you start looking at the opportunities that are there and you look at his overall record, correct me if I'm wrong, 33-14 is pretty doggone good.
It's not bad.
And I would take that now. As whatever team that you support, you would want that as a team. So when people are saying Jimmy's not good, that's crazy to me. So to answer your question, the talent that is on that team, hell yeah, go get me Jimmy.
Yeah, if he's suspended for 10 double-digit games,
yes,
10 to 12 games,
give me Jimmy.
Jimmy can win you 8.
At least.
Of those 12 games.
And he's seen it.
Or he win you, 7 of those 10. Yeah, I agree with that.
He's got great running backs over there in Cleveland. He's got great wide receivers.
The defense is
Their
loaded.
Their defense is tough.
D-line
is
loaded.
As all get out. Don't forget, Baker Mayfield took them to the playoffs, and they won a game in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So the talent is there. They have some depth that is there. If Jimmy is the answer for you and you see that as a chance to get yourself into the playoffs and get those wins, as you said, probably 8 wins.
I think you'd get
before
it.
Deshaun
12,
comes back.
You definitely would get, I think you get 8 wins.
Yeah, I'm in
with,
there.
With that roster they have. And Jimmy, like you said, Jimmy is more than serviceable.
Yes.
But listen, I like Jimmy Garoppolo too. The problem is Jimmy Garoppolo does have you can see his ceiling. And coaches don't like it when they can see the ceiling of their quarterback. And this is what happened when
run the coaching.
Well, with Sean McVay, right? Sean McVay with Jared Goff, and that's a damn good coach, right? He's one of the greatest coaches in the history of the NFL.
Which is why they got to the Super Bowl.
Because he saw Jared Goff's ceiling and went, I see a ceiling.
Right.
I see it. If I can see it, then so can Belichick.
Yeah.
So can all the other coaches. That means they can see his limitations and coach against them and exploit them. And I think you want a quarterback like Matthew Stafford. Say what you want about Matthew Stafford.
I love him.
He throws a lot of picks, right? He led the NFL in interceptions last year. But he's got a ceiling that is really high, so damn high, you really can't see it.
Right.
You're like, man, if Matthew Stafford reaches his potential, we don't know how good he's going to be.
Right. But with Jimmy, I'm saying.
And Jimmy's not that guy, and that's why they want to move on from a Jimmy, because we've seen his ceiling, and that's why he's got more interceptions and touchdowns in the playoffs.
Well, I'm looking at Jimmy and saying, If Deshaun is my no ceiling,
Deshaun is
I need my ceiling right now.
Yeah.
I need a Jimmy because I love Jacoby Brissett, but Jacoby Brissett's winning percentage is not good in the NFL.
It's not, but like I said, he's serviceable. Like he's a serviceable quarterback.
But I will take Jimmy right
Jimmy,
now.
Jimmy can win, though.
Yeah, Jimmy will definitely win.
Jimmy's more than serviceable. Jimmy can win. So I'm with you on that. I like Jimmy Garoppolo, too. I like him. I just don't love him.
Right. I feel you.
Is that fair?
That's very fair.
All right.
That is fair.
It's fair to say, it's fair to say I love Jimmy Garoppolo. I do. My wife is a San Fran fan. One of my best friends in the world is the head coach of the 49ers. I'm a big fan of Jimmy Garoppolo. So it's fair to say I love him. I'm just not in love with him.
Okay, and that's fair too. But the biggest part about it is this. Shano's record was locked in as a head coach. Not as a offensive coordinator, not a other position. But as a head coach, his record with Jimmy was outstanding. Him with anybody else was not very good. So with Trey Lance, this is the horse that I'm trying to ride with. Hopefully he can rekindle some magic like he did with RG3, having that veer, being able to do some things that Jimmy couldn't do that he feels that Trey Lance is going to be able to do.
Yeah.
And that's great. And I hope it takes off for him. But his winning percentage with Jimmy is way better than any of those other quarterbacks that he's played with.
That is true, but to be fair, he's only been a head coach, and Jimmy has only been his franchise quarterback. The rest of those guys, when Jimmy gets hurt, those are backup quarterbacks
Correct.
That are playing.
That's what I'm saying.
So to be fair, it's the only time he's had a franchise quarterback. So it's the only franchise quarterback he's ever chose is Jimmy, and he's got a good winning percentage with Jimmy. When Jimmy gets hurt, which Jimmy does, we're talking about Jimmy now. It feels like we're talking about the Seinfeld bit.
I was going to say, Jimmy's ready. Jimmy's ready. Put Jimmy in. Let's go.
So to be fair, so I agree with you. Your stat's not wrong. Yeah. But to add nuance to the discussion, Jimmy is the quarterback that he picked out. And when Jimmy's playing, they win a lot of games. They compete in the playoffs. They make playoff runs. They go to Super Bowl or they go to the NFC title game. And when Jimmy's not playing, that's not the franchise quarterback, then, they struggle. But I think most of these teams in the NFL, you put in their backup quarterback, they're probably going to struggle.
For sure. I've been saying it for years with my team, the Cowboys. I'm like, oh, God,
and,
here we go.
And on the record, you go look at the quarterbacks that Shano has gotten a chance to coach, and most of them have had career years.
Rookie of the year.
When he has been their play caller. Whether you're talking about rookie of the year with RG3, we're talking about Matt, obviously, you talk about Matt Ryan with
Matty
the
Ice.
MVP year.
Yep.
Hell, even Matt Schaub. Hell, too, Matt. Matt Schaub, the Schaub job in Houston. Had his best years when Shannon was the OC there.
Pick six Schaub?
Yeah, that guy. Shannon was gone by the time he became that's what the Schaub job is. Yeah. The Schaub job is a pick six.
Yeah.
He led. I think he had more pick sixes in NFL history in the quarterback.
They named
at some
a sandwich
point.
Out of after him in Houston.
It was
called the pick six.
I would say the Schaub job is what we used to call it. We've been Schaubed here. Schaub job. All right. That's enough of that. But, so apparently the Browns are discussing whether they should bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. Hearts likes the idea. I like the idea, too.
Yeah.
I don't know what they got to give up, though. What? That's a question is what would the San Francisco 49ers be asking for?
Because he's still under contract with them as of right now.
Yeah. Okay. So you got
to
give up
something.
They would have to release him. They'd have to release him. And everybody believes that. They're going to have to release him at one point.
For sure.
But you don't want another team to swoop in there and then trade for Jimmy and get Jimmy.
Yeah.
So you want to offer something of value. And I wonder what that would be, players or picks.
Well, if you're looking at it like that, and everybody is kind of like the Amari Cooper situation. Everybody knew because you ran your mouth that you wanted to get rid of him.
That's true.
And so why would I go out there and try to give you something and all we got was a fifth-round pick for the Cowboys? That's probably something that they're going to end up having to trade for that there.
Because
he's already said it. I'm already hitching my wagon to Trey Lance. That's my guy. Boom, boom, boom. Now let's move on. So why would I, although I need him, why am I going to run to it? Because I know you got to get rid of him.
Yeah. Are you right about that?
Yeah.
That's a good point. I don't even know why he did that. I think he did that for Trey Lance. I think
right,
he did
for the
that.
Confidence, the voter confidence.
Yeah, there have been some people saying, man, you know what? Shannon may just decide to keep Garoppolo for some of the same reasons you just brought up because he's more than adequate and proved himself that he can be a quarterback that can take a team deep in the playoffs. But I think he did it for Trey Lance because of all of the discussion surrounding their quarterback competition. And he wanted Trey Lance to know it's not a competition. It's your job. So start acting like QB1.
Yeah.
You are QB1. It's yours. Walk around here with your chest out, your head up, be the tallest guy in the room, have a commanding presence, command that respect from your teammates. You're the guy. Don't let Jimmy take it from you anymore. Jimmy ain't that guy. You've been anointed that
guy. You're the
guy. You're the guy. So start acting like it. Walk around here acting like it. That's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
And that's what even Sark said. I want to watch, what he said about the quarterbacks, I want to watch body language.
Exactly.
You want to watch a guy he was going to be QB1. That's why I like the way the Matt Rhule did his quarterback competition with Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. He said, I'm going to give them each a day. We're going to rotate days with them being QB1. And I like that idea because I want to see how you act in the dining hall as QB1. I want to see how you act in the locker room as QB1. Well, I want to, you know, in the weight room, like, you're QB1 all day. It's
that's
you.
One thing you'll never have to worry about with Baker Mayfield.
That's true.
You
right.
know what I'm saying? That dude, we talk about it. That dude got a boulder on his shoulder to let you know, no, I'm that dude.
That's true.
I'm that dude. You don't ever have to worry about Baker being QB1.
That's a good point. All right, let's also, the report was that Deshaun Watson and his camp were willing to accept an 8-game suspension and a $5 million fine, which I think we all scoff at.
Like, yeah.
Please. I mean. Yeah, of course you would.
Yeah. Put it out there.
Exactly.
Put it out there. Yeah. But Roger Goodell is over here pounding his chest talking about I'm running indefinite. I've been saying indefinite. He's trying to change the court of public opinion. But I'm sitting here. I'm like Deshaun. I'm like, hey, I'll give y'all $8 million. How about I give you that?
You getting more than that.
Yeah.
Sorry. They'd be like Isaiah Hall saying, hey, Sark, I'll take a one game. It's like,
yeah, that's all
you
know, I got, Sark.
I'll take a week, Sark. I'll take a week. All right, let's get to our Horn Top 20 countdown. We got number 11 on our countdown, Oregon, today.
When you put that uniform on, you better come to work.
It's the Horn Top 20, brought to you by Allstat Beer. No impurities, no regrets. Number 11, the Oregon Ducks.
All right, Oregon. Actually, last year, good season for Oregon. 10-4, 7-2 in conference play. That is why they ended up with a new coach, because Mario Cristobal decided to go home, go back to Miami, and then I have Dan Lanning now, who was the defensive coordinator for Georgia in their national championship run, and he is now the head coach of the Oregon Ducks. I'll say this about Oregon. I liked what Cristobal was doing there. He's an O-line guy, so they were building the O-lines, and that's really what I think is going to be the strength of the team this year. The good news for them, they return almost the entire offensive line intact. Center, Alex Forsythe, he's going to try to play a full season. He had back problems last year and injuries, but he's going to be healthy or expected to be. They have also some NFL-caliber prospects on that O-line. I wish that I could not – I wish I could pronounce this player's name without butchering it, but I'll just say Malasala.
I know who you're talking about.
And TJ Bass, so I'm sure I messed that up, but I apologize. But those guys are really good players. Also, they got some good weapons on the outside, but I think the lines of scrimmage and where it starts. Remember, they lost Kayvon Thibodeau on the defensive line, but I think the defensive line actually this year could end up being a strength for them too. They got a lot of guys who were hurt last year, dealt with some injuries in the spring. I think the lines of scrimmage hards are going to be the strengths for Oregon this year.
And they brought in Bo Nix, the Bo Nix that was at Auburn.
Great point.
They brought him in as the transfer quarterback that get him a new start. We've been talking about new starts, and this is an opportunity for Bo Nix going to the Pac-12, giving himself an opportunity to go up there and cause some damage. But the one thing you brought up about that offensive line, they're returning 14 players, 7 on offense and 7 on defense. So that's a great starting point for a new head coach. But the thing that I'm most impressed with is you brought it up. They're starting offensive line, junior, senior, 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 and a sophomore tight end. That's experience up there. That means that they understand what is being asked of them, what they need to do, and there's going to be something that happens during the game that nothing is going to shock them because they've seen it all. They've already got that experience. Yep. And then you bring in Bo Nix, who's a junior and has played in the SEC, so there's going to be things that he's going to be able to diagnose right away. But you start talking about that defense, Noah Sewell.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
The linebacker. Mm-hmm. His brother is in the NFL. I think he's with the Lions, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think he might be with the Lions. But he is a tackling machine.
He is.
He is a tackling machine, so he's going to be able to provide some leadership. You talked about the secondary a little bit. They got a junior in Jamal Hill, who's a returning starter, and their safety, Steve Stevens, the fourth, is back there in the secondary as well. The one thing that I've always looked at is when you start looking at Oregon, you always think about the offensive side of the ball, how fast they are, how quick. The offense is from Chip Kelly, then what Mario Cristobal was able to bring in. And what's the other guy that took over for Chip Kelly? gosh, I forgot his name, but he was an offensive mind. He's Mark Helfrich.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was an offensive minded coach as well. Now he's doing TV right now.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, I saw him doing some things. But another loss that I think went under the radar and we didn't get a chance to really dive into it was the running back Travis Dye. Travis Dye left there and now he's at USC. So he stayed in the Pac-12 and now that's something that USC, now they're high powered as anybody now. So when you start looking at where the losses may be and who they're playing and how they're going to break it down, the one thing that I continue to try to look at is who is going to be able to beat them in their division. They don't have a lot of teams in on their side of the conference that will be able to beat them. If you look at it, they're playing Washington, Oregon State, Washington State, Cal, and Stanford. Stanford will be the only team that will challenge them in the North because everybody else is in the South, Utah, USC, UCLA, Arizona, Arizona State, and Colorado. So they're still going to have an opportunity to play for that Pac-12 championship.
All right, what you got for the people coming up on Hard Knock Life?
I'm going to talk a little bit about the spring. No, I want to call it the spring game. What I'm looking for are the news that I want to hear from the scrimmage tomorrow. Just not necessarily the quarterback position because I know that's where everybody wants to talk about. But I'm going to go somewhere else. And then I also want to bring up the tight end for the Dallas Cowboys that I've been telling y'all about that's having a good camp.
All right, we'll talk about that coming up. Hard Knock Life on 104.9 The Horn.
Ladies and gentlemen, guys and dolls, the main event of the evening for your entertainment and pleasure.
Mike, you have to be so combative.
Now, I probably wouldn't say this in front of white folks, but in front of y'all, I'm gonna speak my mind.
He has emotional anger issue problem.
Hey, are you Dirty Mike and the boys?
I'm Mike Lowry.
Michael!
Oh, that's funny. Michael!
Welcome back to a 512 Friday edition of Ball Don't Lie. It's your boy Hardball Harge here. You can follow me on Twitter at Hardball Harge. You can follow my man Rod Babers at Rod Babers. You can follow my man behind the glass if you want to at Texas Guy Ty. That's right. He's doing his thing. You can also be a part of the show, and y'all have been. I love the fact that y'all keep sending us all this information that we are trying to figure out about this parking ticket. We've all had the boot in our life, but obviously there's a little bit more, but we love it when you're all part of the show. So hit us up on the Specs text line, 512-337-3776. Now, the Dallas Cowboys, obviously Rod opened the show talking about the Cowboys and how they struggled to have their way, I guess you would say, with the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos were bringing a lot of the ruckus to the fellas yesterday, but they did fight back a little bit. There's a lot that can go on to this. They're going to have a big game this weekend against the Denver Broncos. They've been practicing in Denver. It always happens when you get a chance for the first time to see another team in another jersey. There's going to be some dust-ups and there's going to be some fights. But one of the players that have been having a great camp thus far is not Dalton Schultz. And I said that earlier. At first, I went back and forth. I wasn't happy about him being able to become one of the highest paid players because of the franchise tag at the position of tight end. And I thought the reason why the Cowboys were playing hardball with him is because they drafted the rookie out of Wisconsin named Jake Ferguson.
Yep.
Jake Ferguson is somebody that I looked at and I thought is going to be more of that guy that you can have on one of those rookie contracts. That kind of like you did with Dalton Schultz, where he ended up not being the guy that you're going to pay all that money to. So now I'm looking at it, and I'm hearing out of Dallas that Jake Ferguson has been more than what they've expected. Our man Mike Gelkin, you can follow him at at Gelkin NFL. He said, Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy, by the way, take that as a grain of salt because I don't know how long McCarthy's going to be there. But Mike McCarthy said that of tight end Jake Ferguson, he is everything we thought he was. We love his tenacity. He's bright. He has a clear understanding, multiple position player. And I think the kind of guy you will show up today that will put on the pads. This is his game. So he is somebody that I was excited about because I told you that at the very beginning, Rod, when we were talking off air, I said, man, I really like that pick that they made with Ferguson, the tight end out of Wisconsin, because we talked about Wisconsin yesterday. That's just who they are. Those are those types of football players. They love the game of football, mm-hmm. and they understand the game of football. And for him to say we can put him in multiple positions, that means that he can go out there and also become a blocker. He had to be mm-hmm. if you were playing for Wisconsin, because we talked about mm-hmm. the running game that they had.
Yep.
So he had to learn how to block there. So I'm excited to see what he's able to do this weekend, and we'll follow him as we continue to go through the rest of the preseason and get ready for the regular season. So keep that name in mind, folks.
I like that.
Keep that name in mind. Although my man Ty does not like him that much. He's already giving me the thumbs down because he's a Cowboy fan too. But I do believe that he will be a big part of the success that the Cowboys will have. What you got, Ty?
He was my one pick I didn't like out of the Cowboys draft class.
That's interesting because my pick was Smith. I was mad at the pick of Smith.
He's been looking good, though.
Yeah, again, give him that second. I had to change the way I thought about him. I told Ry, I was like, hey, man, I think they might have found something. We had to go with Will McClay and what he does. So I'm going to go with Will McClay. I'm going to go with his trust.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing the same thing. But I was already on Ferguson, so when they made that pick, I was real excited about it.
All right.
So
we'll see. Hey, I didn't like Dalton Schultz either when he got drafted.
Exactly.
That'd have been a good pick.
That was a good pick, too. Give him time. That's what I'm trying to do. Give him time. So tomorrow, we didn't get a chance to get into this, Rod, and I know we will a little bit later on, but I was thinking about this as well. Tomorrow's a big day for a lot of people. Texas is having their scrimmage mm-hmm. tomorrow, and this is when, and I would love to get your opinion on this, this is when the rubber meets the road. This is when guys that have been putting in all the work, the off-season training, the summertime in the heat, and now you've been working with each other, you got the pads back mm-hmm. on. This is the time where these guys really get to set themselves apart. This is the time when we start to see the depth charts start to be formed. This is where you start to see the separation. We've been talking about the quarterback position. I'm not going to talk too much about it, but we've been talking about the quarterback position. This is when the separation starts to happen. This is when Coach Sark is going to go back, look at the film, and say, okay, I think I found my guy. He may not give it to us right now,
yep.
but he's going to look at it and say, this guy showed up on film. We've been talking about the offensive and defensive lines. We've seen some stuff with the young players and everything that's been going on. They have decided now is the time for some of these young players. There's a clip out there right now of Vernon Broughton. I sent it to you. I think I sent it to you last night. Vernon mm-hmm. had not been Broughton, and he got destroyed on one of those plays.
He did.
Right?
Yeah,
so
he did.
You start to see it, and you're like, man, okay, these big young freshmen are ready to come in here and do the work. Who is going to be one of those freshmen that's going to take that next step? We're starting to think about the wide receiver position and how important it is. We talked the other day about the secondary. Who's going to be in the back of the on that back end that is going to help? Anthony Cook talked about the communication the other day during his press conference. That was a huge thing that I wanted to hear. I thought it was perfect for him to say that because those are the things that you've been harping on. When people are missing assignments, why are they missing these assignments? Are the safeties and the corners not communicating? Hey, who's got what? This play, this is what I see. What do you see? The communication is going to be a huge part of it. And then who is going to step up at the linebacker position? We already know about DeMarvian Overshawn. We know they're going to move him around. They talked about treating him kind of like Micah Parsons. Going to move him around and try to figure out where they're going to bring the pressure off the edge or where they're going to blitz him from, up the middle or from the outside. But who is going to be that other player that we are going to be looking at come Sunday or Saturday after the scrimmage when all the reports will start to come out, or on Monday when we come back in here to talk about it? Who's going to be that guy that's going to step up? I'm going to give you three names that I think we're going to hear about on Monday.
Give it to me.
One of them is going to be Troy Amiri.
Really?
One of them is going to be Troy Amiri. If he goes out and he plays into that scrimmage, I think he's going to be another one that we had that thought process of that first scrimmage that he had a few years ago before he ended up hurting his knee. Everybody was like, oh, my gosh, he's going
to
be a
freak. Yeah, he's supposed to start his freshman year.
Yeah, and he's going to get an opportunity now because of Jai Hall has now changed the way that this rotation is going
to
be.
Reps. Yeah, and I agree. I don't need to see a lot of X-Men.
You don't.
Like, I don't know, X-Men, he needs one series or so, but X-Men, you're good. Bijan, Rojo, y'all good.
Jay Witt,
you're good.
You're good. I don't need to see a lot from you.
So Troy's, he's cleared now?
Yeah, he's been practicing. Yeah, he's been doing everything. I know, so that's a big. I know that's what everybody's been waiting on.
Been here for years.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, it feels like he's been around.
Every offseason, it's like
no. Here's another name that I want to hear: Baron Sorrell.
I heard the guys at Big 12 Media Days, they were asking the players, you know, who should we be looking out for? And they his name keeps coming up from the players.
From the players. So that means the player. Yeah. So I'm going with Baron Sorrell, Troy Amiri, and my last name is Ryan Watts. Now, I don't know how much he's going to play either because I think Ryan Watts has got – I think he's established himself as that corner.
Yeah.
But he still needs to get the reps he needs to show – that, hey,
everybody on defense needs the reps.
Everybody on defense needs
Demo.
The reps.
Yeah. Sorry, Demo, if you're overshowing. You need them too.
Everybody on defense
even
needs
you.
The reps.
You need them too.
So those are my guys that I'm going to be paying a lot of attention to, and I hope to hear their names. Some of those younger players that I expect to get a lot of run, and we might hear that some too, Rod.
Mm-hmm.
Justice Finkley, you and I have talked about him before. I just think that he's going to be able to hold up buck position behind Ovi Ogofu. I think he's going to do well back there. And then this is one that I'm still like, I'm not sure how I feel about this one. And this is going to be Christian Jones. And you're going to say, why Christian Jones? He's been here forever.
He has.
But we haven't heard of the domination.
They need him.
Of Christian Jones.
Yeah.
So I need to see Christian Jones step up and get his name in the paper, so to speak, where the coaches are like, he showed up during this scrimmage. So those are the names that I want to pay a lot of attention to, and hopefully they get themselves recognized this weekend.
Yeah. No, I like that because those are not names that people would have thought about. Troy Amiri.
Yep.
That is just – I mean, we have talked about so many of these different receivers because X-Man, of course, has come in and really, I mean, just totally took the Big 12 by storm as a true freshman.
Yep.
Had one of the greatest seasons ever for a receiver as a true freshman in the history of Texas football. And then, you know, of course, knock on wood, Witt. So we all love Jay Witt,
yep,
but we just hope Jay Witt can make it through a season. But then bringing in Tariq Milton was big. Isaiah Nayor, of course, that's big. And, yes, we just kind of forgot about Troy Amiri.
Yep, exactly.
You're certainly right. There was a lot of hype. And Ty remembers it, too. A lot of hype around Troy Amiri. He was going to win the starting job as a true freshman.
Yes, he had it.
Yeah,
he had it.
So he got hurt. He was getting reps with the first team.
He was getting Megatron comparisons because of his size and how big he was. And wearing number 21.
Rod Babels.
I know.
Wearing number 21.
Megatron was going a little too far. Getting drunk on that burnt orange Kool-Aid. He's like, Megatron. Okay. Hope he's like Lima Swede before he gets to the Megatron. Can he get to the Lima Swede step before he gets to the Megatron?
Maybe
step?
Colin Johnson first.
Yeah, exactly. Colin Johnson step. Thank you. Who had a great game last night.
Yeah, he did have a great game last night.
So,
I was glad to see
little
that.
Jordan Humphrey step. Can we get that? Calvin Johnson. Megatron.
He's wearing 21.
No,
he's
I remember that. I remember people saying, I'm like, oh, Lord. We love drinking that Kool-Aid.
We love it.
All right. That's good stuff. All right, good stuff there. Hard Knock Life. I'm looking forward to that scrimmage, too. So everybody's going to be waiting impatiently, for those practice scrimmage reports coming out this weekend. All right, we come back. We'll get into Deion Sanders. He had a lot to say about the Hall of Fame. Is Deion Sanders right, saying the Hall of Fame right now is a free-for-all? We'll discuss it on the other side right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.
D.D. Mega doo-doo, I'm sorry, Mangudu.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain bag comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East.
Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! F***ing thing sucks!
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Our man CB said, Troy Amiri got a rep Rod's 21. Yes, thank you, CB. I am still officially the greatest number 21 in Texas football history.
Say it with your chest.
Somebody's gonna surpass that though. I thought I was pretty sure when Jordan Witt, because for a while I thought like Jay Witt wore. A lot of people have worn that 21, then they give it up after a while. Shout out to my man, Blake Gideon out there too.
Yep.
Who repped the 2-1.
DJ Monroe. Was DJ Monroe 26?
He was 26.
Yeah, 21. Everybody who wears it, they have a really bright future, and then they leave. Maybe it's cursed. I don't know what it is.
What was that running back? There was a running back that wore number 21. He ended up going to U of H, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, it wasn't Catalan.
Kyle Porter. That's
okay.
What it was.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, because Catalan was another one that didn't he go back and forth too?
He did.
Anyway, yeah, out of 2-1. I don't know why I expect somebody to surpass it, but I can say that. And since I can
Keaton
say
Crawford.
It, is he 2-1?
He's 21.
Okay, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Hopefully. Yeah. He does. And it'd be great.
I don't Never want, lost.
I don't want to be able to brag about being the greatest number 21 in Texas football history. That should be one. The reason that I started wearing number 21, first of all, I wanted number 2. But it was because of Deion Sanders, because Deion Sanders wore number 2 in college. Yep, yep. He wore number 21 in the league. I want to be like Deion, who didn't want to be like Deion, who played the defensive back position, or at least a cornerback position. So when I got to Texas, I told Coach Tim Brewster, who recruited me, that I wanted number 2, and he said I was going to get number 2. And when I got to Texas, he was like, we ain't got number 2. It ain't available. You go wear number 21, big dog. And I'm like, I wear number 2, man. I can't wear 21 until I get to the league. When I become Deion Sanders
in the
league.
When I become that.
Yeah, and he's like, nah, big dog, you want 2-1 right now, man. It's going to look so clean on you. People going to be making them Deion Sanders comparisons already when you in college. And that I never got that comparison. So I was sold a bill of goods. I want that deuce.
That Megatron comparison. I mean, Hard's back in the day.
Exactly.
I might have been comparing you.
I was comparing you, dog. Megatron.
Yeah, Megatron.
You're prime, dog. You're
exactly.
Prime.
That'd be like Troy Beer getting that Megatron. Rob B, is Dion?
That's prime over there, dog.
No, I never. And you're damn right. I should have never gotten it. That'd disrespected Prime. Well, Prime believes that his legacy is being disrespected, Harge. He said that this quote, he said, the Hall of Fame ain't the Hall of Fame no more. This thing is becoming a free-for-all. If you play good, no. It's people that change the game. That's what the Hall of Fame is, a game changer. He says, my jacket's got to be a different color. There needs to be a starting 11. There needs to be an upper room. My head don't belong with some of these other heads. That's all in his Hall of Fame. Oh, man, I love it. I love it. This is great. I mean, that's fantastic. That's,
yeah.
As quintessential Deion. Does he have a point, Harch?
I believe that he does. Okay. I think some of the names that end up getting into the Hall of Fame is like, oh, really? I didn't know that dude even did something like that. And like he said, it's people that change the game that are the Hall of Famers, not the ones that, like he said, I just had a good season. I had a good couple years.
I had a good run.
Got a good
had
run.
Had a nice little run in there. Some Pro Bowl. Le'Veon Bell's going to be trying to make a case for it.
Right.
And it's like, because this is the problem, because some people believe that if you were the best at your position for a certain amount of time that you belong in the Hall of Fame. And I'm more with Deion. I think statistically there are some players, if you end up being, you know, a record setter statistically, you'll probably make your way in.
If you make the all-decade team, that means that you did something.
That could be one of the criteria, too. I think it should be for those people who, if you're telling the story, all right, if you're telling the story of pro football, it'd be tough for you to tell the story without them.
Right.
And that's what Deion wants.
That's exactly
Deion
what
Deion doesn't want the guys.
About.
He's like, no. Can you tell the story of pro football without Deion Sanders? Probably not. You got to throw Deion in there once or twice because he really changed the game in a lot of ways and playing two sports. And then remember the free agency up here where he went from San Fran
to the Cowboys
and made them a Super Bowl contender and then went to the Cowboys. Like I agree with him in that respect. This is why Ricky Williams has got more rushing yards than Earl Campbell.
Right.
Earl Campbell didn't play that long, but if you watched Earl Campbell play, you said
change the game.
You can't tell a story of pro football without talking about Earl Campbell.
They had to make different shirts because Earl would go through so many during the game.
You can't tell the story of pro football without talking about Earl Campbell.
Right.
Because he played the game unlike anybody else.
For sure.
Some people say Jim Brown was like that, but I didn't see Jim Brown.
Right.
I saw Earl
That wasn't our time.
I'm talking about our time. So I kind of agree with him on that. I think,
do too.
You know, statistics should be a part of it. That should be a part of it. That should be a data point. But, you know, just having purely great statistics should not put you in there. That's why the championships are always big.
Right.
The championships were
always
That's
why everybody always talks about, did you win a championship? Did you do this? Did you do that? There's a lot that goes into it.
Because that's part of the storytelling. It's you tell the story of the Hall of the Pro Football Hall of Fame, tell the story of pro football. Well, we tell the story of who won championships. Well, Dion helped San Fran win that championship.
And the Cowboys.
And the guys, I'm saying. Like, yes. So you got to tell the story with it.
You got to tell the story. Yeah. And he told you a long time ago, I built this thing. This is my house. This is where I was at. Man. I helped y'all get all of this.
Yeah.
So let me tell y'all about what I did to Andre Rison.
Man, I remember when he met. Oh, it was a must-watch television when Dion would go up against Andre Rison, Bad Moon Rison.
Bad Moon Rison.
They had that fight. Or he would go up against Jerry Rice
For
or
sure.
Michael Irvin.
Yes.
Because you knew most of the time.
Sterling Sharp.
Most of the time he was going to be one-on-one with him because they believed Dion was good enough. He didn't need help. He didn't need safety help. They were going to leave him one-on-one with whoever their best receiver was. And that was, to me, that was thrilling. I mean, I might as well have been watching The Sopranos or something.
Yeah, it was definitely must-watch TV.
It was fantastic to me. And it was compelling because they always end up getting into it.
Yes.
A lot of trash talk from Dion.
Yes.
Oh, man. Good times. Dion, corners like that don't really exist anymore. It's really hard these days to have a shutdown corner.
Which is
like
why Dion is saying what he's saying. He's like,
good point.
The game has changed. Y'all don't play corner like I played corner.
Nobody plays corner like he played corner.
There it is.
Someone said, should Houston's best player, Andre Johnson, be in the Hall of Fame? That's going to be a good – because statistically, he's missing a lot of receiving touchdowns. So I'm going to say Andre Johnson doesn't get in, even though he's top 10.
For sure.
In a lot of statistical records, but except for touchdowns.
Yeah.
But he did.
And they didn't win.
And they didn't win.
And they didn't win.
And I can
win.
Tell the story without him, but
I mean,
say
I'm sure
this.
There's a lot in there that didn't win.
Yeah.
Because were just good players.
Yeah.
But – it's going to be tough.
It's going to be tough because, like you said, he didn't win, and statistically, he's in the top 10 there. But the reason I would give him more props because he did it with bad quarterbacks.
Yes.
He did it with some of the worst quarterbacks for any wide receiver that ended up being top 10 statistically in some of those categories. But that may not be enough to get you in the Hall of Fame.
For sure.
Being part of the first family, Will, that's why Eli's in. Eli's getting in. He's got two titles. Both big guys.
And he beat Tom Brady twice.
Twice. You got to tell the story of pro football. It's hard for you to tell that story without talking about Eli freaking Manning.
Yep.
And I think that's the point that Dion's trying to make. Let's tell the story. It's a museum. He's supposed to tell the story of the game.
But he said he needs to be in the upper room, and he need a different jacket.
The upper room.
And he need a different jacket.
I like it.
And he said we need to have a starting 11 because me and Night Train don't need to be sitting by some of these other people.
That's a great idea for the starting 11, though. Yeah. And then you get bumped.
Yeah.
Like, when you're like, Dion's been on there for 50, for 80 years. He's been the starting corner on that starting Hall of Fame team. Yep. I like that idea, though.
Yeah. He said, give me a starting 11.
Shout out to Dick Night Train Lane.
Yes.
Austin. The ATX.
Austin, Texas, baby.
Was, I believe, abandoned in a dumpster as a baby. Crazy story.
Which
like
is
left,
why
like
he
left
knocked people
a,
out when like he goes across.
Left at a doorstep as a child. Yep. Great story about Dick Night Train Lane. All right, enough of that. Let's get to the break here. We'll come back. We'll talk Cowboys. Also talk Texans. Get to our Horn Top 20 countdown. All those things and more right here on Ball Don't Lie 104.9 The Horn.